Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
Whenever we hear the word victim in the news, and we hear it in the news quite a bit, it usually refers to someone who's been a victim of a crime or a terrorist attack or a natural disaster or some other unfortunate event. Now, on a social level, we use the word, we may refer to victims of abuse or victims of discrimination or victims of poverty. And privately, we all know people who see themselves as victims of divorce, of disease, a particular disease, or maybe even a corporate downsizing, whatever it is. Now, none of these things on any level are very pleasant for the people involved. So to the average person, being a victim is a very serious matter. But what most people fail to realize is the most serious side effect of being a victim is not what actually happened to the people or to the person involved, as bad as that may be. By far the most serious consequence of victimhood from a spiritual perspective, which is what we talk about here, is the tendency to identify ourselves with the problem instead of embracing the opportunity to grow or to change. That's the most serious side effect, because that's what the universe is offering us, not just when something happens, but all the time in every situation. In other words, no matter what appears to be happening around us or to us, being a victim is never the real truth about us at all. Never, ever. Because we are always more powerful than any circumstance we encounter. That's kind of a nutshell here, but that's what I'm going to be talking about today. Now, as most of us have learned in the years that we have been on this planet, it's not unusual to encounter situations in the world, good and bad, that cause major disruptions in the way that people live, including ourselves. Because this world, as amazing as it is a very high-powered, high-velocity, high-energy, absolutely insane and fascinating place. It really, really is, all right? And major catastrophes happen all the time, both natural and man-made. I mean, there are wars and depressions. There are droughts and famines and fires and floods and hurricanes and volcanoes and earthquakes and tsunamis. And while all of these things may not be necessary or inevitable on a spiritual level, there's obviously something that appears to be producing them in great numbers in the physical world, in this world where we live and move and have our being. So unless we keep ourselves locked up in a concrete vault with a heavy metal door or in a rubber room, which is where some people should be anyway, there are things that can happen in our life, unexpected things that can cause us a lot of inconvenience. But I want you to notice something. No matter how serious a problem may be, there are always two kinds of people left when it's over. Okay? How many kinds of people? Two. Everybody with me? Okay. One group is the group that usually ends up on the front page of the newspaper or on the 11 o'clock news. These are the people we see who are bloody and bruised. Their spirit seems to be broken. They're angry. They're hurt. They're looking for somebody to blame. These are people whose lives have been turned completely upside down, and they never really recover. And it's really hard to see. It's hard to watch. Both of, all of us feel compassion, like I talked about a couple weeks ago. And these are the people who refer to themselves forevermore, publicly and privately, as victims of whatever it is that happened. But at the same time, remember I said there were two groups of people, there's a second group who went through the same ordeal, who somehow managed to rise up from the ashes and create something out of nothing. That's the other group. People who recreate their life and they move forward stronger and more confident, either in spite of their experience or because of their experience. That's the second group, all right? So what we need to understand, once again from a spiritual perspective, is that the difference between these two groups is not a matter of luck or willpower or grit or stamina or any of these other things that people talk about. It's something a whole lot deeper. Whether they're aware of it or not, the men and women who make the decision to face their difficulties, however tragic, and to move past them are using mental and spiritual tools that are as old as the human race. These are the people who believe that their future is not a function of what happened to them or around them. They know that their future is being created completely from whatever mental and spiritual decisions they make in the present about what happened. And for whatever reason, whether it's consciously or unconsciously, they make a decision to not only survive, but to thrive. People with this attitude are always going to rise above the circumstances around them, no matter how bad those circumstances happen to be. You see, in society today, there are a lot of people who are perfectly willing to see themselves as victims because it gives them a convenient place to focus the blame for whatever's happening in their life. The unfortunate thing is that blame is always focused out there. They may blame the perpetrator if it's a crime. They may blame their parents. They may blame the environment. They may blame society, blame the government. Some of them even blame God. And before it happened, they didn't even believe in God, but when it does happen, that's who they blame. You know, it's a very interesting thing. And even though there are definitely things in the world that need to be eliminated, things like child abuse, spousal abuse, discrimination based on gender, race, sexual orientation, whatever it is, those things need to be eliminated. But blaming those things for yours and mine, inability to succeed will never help us to overcome them, because the power in our life always flows to the place where we're focusing our attention. Very, very important to understand. That means if we put the mental and emotional and spiritual power that we all possess into the thing that we are blaming, and if we see our problems as more powerful than we are, we will not only be powerless against them, we'll never be able to get rid of them either. We'll carry them around for the rest of our life like a ball and chain. People do it all the time. Now, look at history. Dr. King understood what I'm telling you. Mahatma Gandhi understood it. Jesus understood it. And a whole lot of other great spiritual teachers before and since, many of who would be excellent role models for any of us. Even though both Dr. King and Mahatma Gandhi, let's use two great examples that all of us are familiar with, grew up living under discriminatory social and political conditions that had been in place for years, decades, even before they were born, they were very clear that these rules were not only morally wrong, they were completely unacceptable. No question in their mind, completely unacceptable. However, they did not confront and overcome these obviously unjust laws by acting as suffering victims looking for relief. That approach never entered their mind. It never occurred to them for a minute. Instead, they overcame these laws and a lot of other misguided social attitudes that went along with these laws by seeing themselves as more powerful than the circumstances they were facing. By seeing themselves, and by extension, everyone around them, as more powerful than what they were dealing with. The key here is they not only knew a greater truth about themselves, they also knew a greater truth about the world, and this is what's really amazing, they even knew a greater truth about the people who were using these laws to try to keep them down. That's what's truly amazing. They knew what Booker T. Washington, the great writer, said a couple hundred years ago. He said, "One man cannot hold another man down in the ditch without remaining down in the ditch with him." It's a great statement. They knew that a person who accepted, very important, who accepted the role of victim would stay in the ditch and complain about the fact that they had to be there, complain that it was muddy and dirty. They'd complain about the people and the circumstances that had put them there and were keeping them there. And they do that over and over. But those who refused to be victims, who would not accept it, would look beyond the facts of where they were and see something better. And they would believe without question that the power of life that always supports them as they move away from limitation and powerlessness and into the real spiritual world, that that power would be there filled with infinite possibility and personal responsibility. Think of how powerful those two things are together. Infinite possibility and personal responsibility. Of course, watching how Mahatma Gandhi and Dr. King changed the world is very impressive and inspirational too, because they did it by calmly refusing to accept the role of victim. We talked about that. And then, the next step is important, they took the world forward to where they knew it needed to go. They took the world forward to where it needed to go. But unfortunately, most of the world does not live life at that level. You see, the vast majority of victims in the world are not the people who get caught up in wars and disasters. The majority of real victims in the world are all around us every single day. They're the people we go to work with. They're the people we eat lunch with. They're the people we talk to around the water cooler. And sometimes they're you and me. Sometimes it's us, all right? The real victims in life, not you guys, but I'm sure you know some somewhere anyway. The real victims in life are those who accept the world as it is without being interested in making it better, all right? That's when we do this, we're playing the victim and we don't even realize it. So let's talk about that for a minute, okay? Because it's something we all need to learn. How can we tell when we are playing the victim? What are some of the symptoms that we ourselves can see? Now, sometimes it's obvious. When we complain to our friends all the time about how our boss treats us, but we don't have the nerve to talk to our boss or quit, then we are playing the victim. Right? Everybody agree with that? Sure. When we're angry about the way our spouse or our partner or the current person we are dating is treating us, but we don't say anything because we're afraid they'll leave us alone, we're being a victim. We're being a victim, all right? When we spend time and energy telling friends and strangers how certain people in our life take advantage of it, whether it's a family member or a child, whatever it happens to be, and how these people use us and control us, but we still stay stuck in place, we are playing the victim. When we complain about Congress and the president and the people in Washington, but we don't bother to vote or write letters, we are playing the victim. Playing the victim. In other words, when we spend all our time talking about something that we don't like and none of our time doing anything about it, that's a sure indication that at some level, whatever is going on in our life that we don't like is something we actually want in our life. Because we're not doing anything about it, okay? If we really wanted to get rid of it, we would do it, all right? Instead of wasting time and energy talking about it to people who are too polite to tell us to shut up and do something, which is what they ought to be doing, all right? That's what we need to hear sometimes. You see, when we go through life constantly telling other people that we deserve more than we have, we're being a victim. When we're saying to ourselves, when we're saying to our own consciousness, which is far more serious than saying it to anybody else, all right, that the world owes us more and God ought to be doing more for us because we're really a good person who's trying hard against great adversity and it's just not fair. You know, when we're doing that, that attitude will never result in a better life. Simply because we're not working in harmony with the law of life, the law of mind, which states very clearly that spirit can't do any more for us than it can do through us. You've heard me say that before. I mean, life doesn't owe us any more than it's already given us because what we've been given is more than we're ever going to need. Ever going to need. Now, believe it or not, the infinite intelligence that we call God or whatever else we call it doesn't understand excuses or complaints. It does not, okay? Instead, when we make excuses or complain, this power hears our excuses and complaints as affirmations. As affirmations that something in our life is more powerful than we can overcome. But it also knows about us that that's not the truth. That is not the truth. And it knows this because it created us out of itself, all right? It knows that there's nothing we can't change or rise above. So our excuses, even though they may allow us to feel justified in our failures, even though they allow us to whine and do nothing, are completely meaningless to God. They're completely meaningless to the universe. We have to realize what we're doing when we tell other people that we are powerless in our life, which is what we do when we take on the role of victim. Now, a lot of time, people, maybe some of us, use our sad story to get sympathy, all right? Maybe to prove ourselves right or to prove that we've been wronged, whatever it happened to be. And that may feel good in the short term, but sympathy can create a very unhealthy attitude for both parties. Because what it does is it solidifies the idea in our mind that the problem is more powerful than any solution that little me could come up with. That's why if someone tells us their story, you know what I mean, no matter how sad it happens to be, and we respond with sympathy saying, you poor dear, you must be so strong, you must be a saint, all these things, you know, we're not doing them any good. We're not, all right? In fact, we may be helping them to maintain their helplessness. That's what we may be doing, okay? Which doesn't help at all. Now, I can hear people thinking, I'm not saying we should be cold and heartless and just say deal with it when somebody's got a problem. There are some really sad things that happen, and people have to reach a point where they can cope with them, okay? And we can still show them compassion or offer help, but there's a way to listen to people, to share their challenges and understand their pain without feeding their vulnerability and without taking responsibility for their problems. We don't want to do that either. The very best way we can help them and help ourselves, because we're all in this together, so by helping them, we're also helping ourselves, is by being very clear in our mind about the truth of the matter, which is that there's no problem too big for us to handle as long as we use the intelligence and the power working through us to create something better. Now, I'm going to say something right now that is not politically correct. Everybody ready? Hard to believe for me, isn't it? Okay. But on some level, being a victim is a choice. There's a saying been around, I couldn't find who to attribute it to, but it says there are no victims, there are only volunteers. All right? Interesting statement. Now, a lot of people don't like to hear that. They don't like to hear that, okay? But if it's any consolation, when I say it's a choice, I don't think it's one big choice where somebody walks in and says, I'm going to be a victim. People don't do that. It's a bunch of little choices, sometimes stretched out over a long period of time. I mean, most of us have enough sense. We wouldn't just walk into a situation and immediately give up our power. We wouldn't do that. Though I have seen it done. I've seen it done a number of times. Usually, we find ourselves in a difficult or unpleasant situation because of a bunch of small decisions we made or a number of small decisions we failed to make. All right? Maybe we're trying to avoid conflict. Maybe we're trying to keep somebody else happy who can't be kept happy, all right? And we keep giving in a little at a time. Maybe we allow someone to move in and slowly control our life, because we don't feel strong enough to make our own decisions. Of course, the added bonus of bringing somebody in to make all the decisions in our life is we have someone to blame. All right, that's always nice for some people. Other times we find it easy to slip into the role of victim because we don't think enough of ourselves. We try to win the approval of others by agreeing with their ideas, by supporting their dreams instead of following our own. We allow ourselves to be used and then we resent it. That's being a victim. Sometimes we even think that's love. You know, I'm going to give in to this person no matter what, and then they'll love me no matter what. What's wrong with this picture? Okay, when you think about it. That is not love, it's ignorance. It really, really is. It's ignorance of the spiritual presence within us and within the other person. And even though we may try to blame the other person for our unhappiness, we're the ones who created and attract that experience. So we're the ones who have to do whatever needs to be done to set us free. We are. Now, there's another problem we frequently encounter related to this. What do we do when bad decisions get made in our life without our consent? Okay, let's say you're 5 or 7 years old and your parents get divorced. I mean, we didn't have anything to do with that, okay? But that decision can cause a chain of events that profoundly affects our relationships 30, 40, 50 years later, even though we didn't make the decision. Okay, or maybe your spouse walked out the door and left you with 3 kids and no money. That kind of stuff happens too. If we still see ourselves today as a victim of divorce in either of those situations, okay, that decision that was made by our parents or our spouse so many years ago will continue to affect all of our relationships going forward. It just will. But if we allow it instead to empower us, okay, if we learn from it but we don't hang on to it, then that event, as bad as it seemed at the time, may end up being a blessing. Because now we understand the pain that it can cause. So we start to communicate with our spouse. We communicate with our kids, and we start to use it to make us closer rather than farther apart. We start to learn to create a relationship by healing instead of by fighting, instead of by arguing, all right? Now, sometimes, let's ratchet it up a little bit. There are decisions made by people that we don't know and we have absolutely no control over, okay? But the decisions they make are so big that they affect a vast number of people, including us. When I was in college in the late 60s during the Vietnam War, we had something called the military draft. Anybody remember that? I think a few of us were involved. They had a birthday lottery. They read it over the radio, and they drew up birthdays one at a time. And the first birthday they drew, those guys went first. And it was all men at the time. Women were not drafted, whatever. And I was number 112. I remember listening very, very closely, my birthday, anyway. That was a decision on the part of society that affected a large number of men who were my age. And at the time, different people dealt with it in different ways, all right? There really wasn't a right or wrong, even though some people tried to tell you there was. And those who felt victimized or forced to take action took a lot of years to get over it. A lot of years to get over it. But the ones who claimed personal responsibility for their choice, whether that choice was going to Vietnam or going to Canada, and I knew people who did both, okay, those people found a whole new appreciation for life because they made the decision to not be a victim, to take control of their own life, okay? Even though somebody else caused the problem, they made the decision on how they were going to face it and how they would deal with it. Now, religion's another issue, traditional religion. Traditional religion has encouraged people to accept the role of victim. There was kind of a perverse nobility to it, you know, a belief that God would save you a special place in heaven if you suffered enough. Anybody ever hear that? I did, I'm telling you, at Espiritu Santo Catholic Church for a lot of years, all right? Okay? We need to get away from that kind of thinking. And I think most of you probably already have. We need to stop thinking that God especially loves victims or appreciates their suffering. The belief that we are powerless and that that powerlessness will make us more noble doesn't do anything at all to change God's opinion of us. And I know I'm getting a little anthropomorphic here, okay? But if God does have an opinion of you or me, this is it. You're terrific and you're amazing. Now go start acting like it. That's the opinion. Start acting like it. Now, we've all heard stories about people who overcame tremendous adversity and created amazing lives, not just for themselves, but the world. Everybody remember the actor Christopher Reeve a number of years ago, Superman, one of the Supermans and all that. He had a horseback riding accident, broke his neck, became a quadriplegic. That could have caused him to give up on life. He could have gone into a nursing home, been forgotten, just slowly drifted away. But as we know, he didn't do that. He didn't. He spent the 9 years he had left, as it turned out. He died in 2004. I looked it up. I'd forgotten. During that time, he traveled the world, not just locally, he traveled the world in a wheelchair with a full-time respirator, giving talks on the importance of taking control of your life. Isn't that amazing? I mean, he was more powerful in his wheelchair with a respirator than he ever was a Superman. He really, really was. But there's more to this story. I love this. There was an article I saved a number of years ago, and it was about a young woman in California, lived in California. Her name was Susie Kim, and she was a third-year medical student in Los Angeles who lived about 45 miles away from the university, and she did that so she could care for her mother, who was dying of stomach cancer at the time. So she had to leave home at 4:30 in the morning in order to get to the hospital and to get to her classes on time. So to relieve the stress, she ran marathons and triathlons. That's what she did. That's how she sort of got all that energy stabilized. And one day she was body surfing in the Pacific, and a wave slammed her into a sandbar, and it broke her neck. And she was a quadriplegic at the time. And the doctors told her she would be crippled for life, just like Christopher Reeve, who had died sometime before. And to make matters worse, while she lay in the hospital unable to move, her mother died. All right. Now, if anybody had the right to feel like a victim, it was her, okay? But she wouldn't do it. she wouldn't do it. 10 months later, after learning how to walk with braces and a walker, she returned to medical school, and she eventually graduated. And today, she's a doctor specializing in physical rehabilitation. And she was able to do this because of help she received. Are you ready for this? From the Christopher Reeve Foundation. Isn't that a great story? Talk about paying it forward, Angela, as you were talking about. Now, it may sound a little trite or simplistic, all right, but the truth is we're only victims if we allow ourselves to be. And if we do occasionally find ourselves playing the victim, we need to deal with it. We need to learn how to look at our behavior and start looking at our behavior as if we're performing a part in a play where we're taking on a role that's not who we really are. Get where I'm going with this? Okay, I'm being a victim. That's not really me. I'm just playing a role. Blah, blah, blah. Okay? If we can look at our excuses as they come out of our mouth as part of a script, as words that we're spouting off as part of the character that we're playing, then we can make a conscious decision to change the script. To change the script. We can stop telling everyone we know that life is hard and I don't know how to deal with it, and start saying to ourselves in the privacy of our own mind. Remember that thing where in the Bible where it says, when you pray, go into a closet and pray? That's what it means. Start saying to ourselves in the privacy of our own mind that I am more than I appear to be, and I am greater than anything that happens in my life. You want an affirmation to need when you're feeling down? Okay. I am more than I appear to be, and I am greater than anything that happens in my life. It's a good one. We need to make choices that recognize the truth of life instead of believing what I call the big lie. The big lie. Because that's what being a victim really is. It's a lie that we are allowing to masquerade as the truth. That's what it is. And it's important for our spiritual growth that we stop allowing this lie to control our life, because not only does it get in the way of our ability to enjoy life, it doesn't support the people around us either. And we're supposed to be helping each other. The victim mentality says, poor me. I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not handsome enough or pretty enough. The world is against me. There's nothing I can do. No one can possibly love me because there is nothing about me that's lovable. That's what a victim says. None of these things are true about anyone. We are all just as pretty, just as smart, and just as lovable as we need to be to create the kind of life that we want to live. Every single one of us. It doesn't matter if the world knows it, as long as we know it, and we know that God knows it. That's all that matters. And we'll all be much better off when we not only stop blaming the world for our problems, but when we start supporting each other in realizing how powerful and wonderful we really are. So we start thinking in terms of no more guilt, all right, no more blame, no more fault, no more shame, just you and me accepting the responsibility to be the presence of God expressing itself in the world. And when we finally get clear about this, we'll finally be exactly where we're meant to be. And being a victim for us and for everyone else will become a thing of the past. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. All right. Thank you. All right. For the meditation, I'm not going to do a treatment related to the talk. I think the talk stirred up enough stuff for everybody to deal with. Today, the 6th of August, is the anniversary of the first atomic bomb being dropped on Hiroshima. It was probably the most transformational thing that happened in human history, and we're dealing with it now with Korea, Iran, and all the different stuff that's going on. So I want to do a treatment this morning for all of us for peace. Not just peace in the world. Peace in the world is something that comes from peace in all of our minds individually. So this peace is for us, inner peace. So I invite you to close your eyes if you so choose and take a moment with me, as we know something better. I know that the world is in balance. I know that the universe has existed for billions of years, working in perfect harmony with itself. And within this universe is everything. All of it a part of the one. And I know that this is true about the planet, and this is true about humanity. Each and every one of us was born through the same process with minor variations. Each of us was born into the same world. The society may have been different wherever we were born. We were born white, black, red, yellow, male, female, gay, straight. We were all born here to be together. And by together, I mean all of us recognizing that each one of us has a right to be here. Each one of us has a right to believe something great about ourselves and about others. Each one of us has the ability to support one another and to ask for support when we need it. So as we begin to recognize this and to live this way on an individual level, with the people who are closest to us, that's the easy part. As we get a little farther and farther outside our circle of friends and acquaintances and neighbors, we maintain that same level of acceptance and respect. We know that others are different, and we celebrate these differences, but we celebrate these differences by embracing our sameness. Same at the level of humanity, same with a heart and a mind, same with the blood that flows through our veins and the air that flows through our lungs. All of us, powerful beings, not just in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. So that spirituality that we share not just with the people in our family or our city or our country, but with the world. Whether we know it or not, or whether they know it or not. So each one of us now is a core, a seed of peace that can grow into something great. So in spite of how we behave towards one another in so many different ways, in spite of the ignorance and the anger and the hatred that some people embrace out of fear, that never enters my mind. I have love and respect for all. I support others. And I ask for support when I need it. As I see this and know this, I realize that war, particularly nuclear war or war on any horrible level, which any level is horrible, is not necessary and it's not inevitable. I do not look at other people as my enemy. I do not look at other people with hatred. I see them as human beings doing the best they can. So even though I do what I need to do to protect myself and my family and my country in whatever way I feel is necessary, I do it with a certain consciousness. I do it with the consciousness of being a God-centered, spiritually grounded, peaceful person who brings nothing but peace into the world. And as each one of us does this, we transform others. So I see the leaders of the many countries, including ours, I see them doing what they do, and I still stay centered in peace. I recognize that there are good-meaning people on all sides, and that right now we are on the verge of creating something truly amazing in the world, where people stand down from the rhetoric and the vitriol and the posturing, and they wake up, where people wake up to a peaceful world in their own mind, which we will then begin to create in the world. So this is the way I listen to the news. This is the way I listen to other people who may be angry or fearful. This is the way I educate myself in the way of spirit. I am grateful for this awareness. I'm grateful for the opportunities that I have to express peace in my own life, and I take advantage of every one of them. Knowing this, I am grateful for all that I have been given and all that I have yet to give. And I accept this truth as mine and the truth for every other person now and always. Releasing this knowing into consciousness, I embrace it letting it do its good and perfect work in the world. Please join me in saying, "And so it is."